suatu falu. Dewi, Dewi, for I know you will lead me in the footprint that you have left. And I know you will guide me. Oh yes, Lord, we believe it. In this path. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. How we believe that this morning, Father, that you will lead us and you will guide us. You will keep us in this path. God, because we know it's not by might or by power. It's not him that will it or him that run it. But it's you that showeth mercy. It's by your Holy Spirit. How it means so much more to us today, Father, to have this unspeakable gift of the blessed Holy Spirit in our lives. To know that makes all the difference, Lord. It makes all the difference. And Father, as we stand in your presence today, we're so thankful, Lord, for the nearness of your Holy Spirit that we feel amongst us. You said you would be there where two or three is gathered in your name. And what we feel, Lord, what we can bear witness to in our spirits, what by divine revelation, by that sixth sense, God, we can contact here, we know it is you, the very one who have called us out of darkness to walk in this marvelous light. The one who called us by our names, Lord, raises us up out of sins and trespasses that we were dead in. One, Lord, that quickens to life. And now we can walk in another sphere, live in another realm, Lord. God, as this world grew darker and darker, becomes so much more evil each day, how we are so thankful for what you have done for us, because it becomes so much more real, Lord. It becomes so much more valuable to know that we carry in our bosom the pure, unadulterated word. The very word that will change us one day. This very mortal will put on immortality. Heavenly Father, as we gather in your house today for worship, it's so good to be here, Father. It means so much more to us, Lord, especially when we are only gathering once every week now. There is such a greater participation by everyone that has come within your gates, Lord. Lord, we truly realize that all things work together for good. To them that love you, you just know how to bring us, Lord, closer to you. How to make us appreciate with a deeper appreciation what, Lord, the enemy was trying to make common to us all. We thank you, Lord, that your ways are past finding out. You just know how to work everything, Lord. It becomes something so dear and precious to each and every one of us. We lift our heads, Lord, and we look to Calvary. Realize, Lord, if you didn't pay it all, if the love of God had so filled you and governed you, to cause you, Lord, to be obedient even unto death, these things might be secured for us, Lord. They've been given unto us with all the love of God, and nothing could take it away from us. Even though we are undeserving of it, even though sometimes, Lord, our lives are so unbecoming of what you have given unto us, yet because the love of God has given it unto us by election, and the grace of God have so led us, Lord, that we could come to truly appreciate it. God, we are thankful that you've been long-suffering. We thank you, Lord, you've been so patient with us. As we see that great transformation taking place in our lives and seeing our hearts, Lord, coming to that place where truly, Lord, not for one moment we ever want to neglect you or your word or push it aside for some selfish thing. Lord, we thank you for this, because truly now we realize that this is the way you wanted us to live. You want to begin to walk this way and act this way, we could feel your Holy Spirit coming down amongst us, as we have felt it, Lord, these last few services, just showing, dear God, as we would line up and measure up with your word and with a sincere heart endeavor to do what you require of us, you always show that you are pleased with our efforts to really worship you in spirit and truth and to please you and to carry about your word, Lord, in the manner, in the way that it ought to be carried out, Lord. And truly it is becoming of us, Lord, who are being designated to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ and to be the light, Lord, in this evil generation we live in. And this is the way you want us to carry out your word and live lives worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And truly realize it could only be accomplished because of the supply of your Holy Spirit, the unfailing grace of God that has been extended so freely unto us. And with bowed hearts, we thank you for it, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. God, we look today that you would speak to us. Our hearts are open. There's a willingness, Lord, to receive from thee. There's an anticipation, Lord, to draw from your Holy Spirit. There's a desire, Lord, to want to do what you require of us, to make our best effort, as we say, to put our best foot forward, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every one. Our needs are many and diverse, Lord. But even this song was sung, Lord, those seven compound redemptive names, you are all that we have need of. You are that great I am that I am, the ever-present God. And to you we look, Lord, and trust this morning, knowing if we trust and never doubt, Lord, you will surely bring us out. So we come with all our burdens, Lord, placing at your feet, with supreme confidence. The Lord was all met in that supreme sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. You paid the price for it all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon you. By your stripes, Lord, we were healed. Blessed be your name. I lay my hands upon these requests, Lord, representing these sick and needy ones. God, I trust that even as they stand here, they are believing now. Some on behalf of their loved ones, some on behalf of their own selves. It don't matter too much whether we write up a request, Lord, but if our faith is placed in that divine promise, if our eyes are set upon that atonement, and how much greater it is than the one that was in the wilderness that Moses lifted up, and our prophet told the people, look and live. Death was moving through the bodies of many. Oh God, but a way was opened up, a fountain of grace was opened up for them. They could look and live. You said when you was on the earth and Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, we can see him that has been lifted up and waved again in this hour. The very divine revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to live. So may we look at that finished work. May we look at that which is accepted by God, which met his requirement. May dear God, with a settled heart full of assurance, whatever the nature of our requests or desires are this morning, may we know it was met in that one sacrifice that was offered once and for all. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister that blessing to every heart, and where there is not sufficient faith, but there is a great need, even an urgent need, may even that grace and mercy that we have so come to learn to believe and trust in, may that extra faith, that help of faith be given. That faith might be lifted up to that required level where they will receive what they have need of. Won't you grant that, Father? We ask it sincerely, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you'd bless our gathering today, and the words that you laid upon thy servant's heart that I might speak to your people. I pray to bring nourishment and strength for all, from the greatest to the least. And I will be so led and directed by the Holy Spirit in the ministering of the word. And may you grant hearts to understand, ears to hear, Lord. May the word fall into rich, deep faith. It will bring forth a hundredfold. May there be strangers and visitors within our gates. We ask that it be such an experience for them just to be gathered in your divine presence. Oh God, that they will be affected in such a way just by being here under the presence of the unveiled word. They will so desire to be a Christian, Lord. They will not leave this service the same way that they came in. We commit ourselves into your hands now, thanking you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and all the blessings you bestowed upon us, and the hearts full of love that rendered and ministered these blessings. We might be lifted up in spirit and be blessed of you as we have gathered in your house today.
We thank you for all these things in the precious, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and chapter 7. God, we should bless you and want to welcome you, especially in the house of the Lord today. I really want to say thanks for the kind words and all that was expressed on my behalf. It's encouragement, and I trust God give me the grace to live up to it and to continue to be faithful and strive to be more faithful in His service. Even as He has allowed His life to continue to serve Him. Amen. I guess we all desire that. And you know, not only today is my birthday, but we have a very special brother there, Brother Ogaru, Adn Ogaru. If it's one thing we have in common, we have the same birth date, and today is his birthday also. You know, I didn't want to come outside, but I felt it was going to be discourteous, because I knew by the song leader telling me that our sister had felt inspired to write a little poem. So I said, I want to show my appreciation and come out. And you know, it just breaks up your heart when you see the thoughts that the Lord think of you. You know, the Lord say, the thoughts I think of you is peace and not of evil. And He used our hands, our lips, because we are His body. And we express these things back to one another. We receive it as from the Lord. And I pray that God would especially bless my brother Adn Ogaru. I know, you know, it's coming up this morning, and I will pass him on the road, and it just flashed through my mind, because I know the great stand he has made for the Lord Jesus, and living single, trying to raise a little boy, and being deserted by his wife because of the message. I've struggled in business and come through many hard times. Amen. And I just pray God would bless me, man. Amen. You know, you think of different ones, I was looking at different ones and seeing them. Like God just had me to look at different ones and the different needs that different ones had, and some of them, the different conditions that they are placed in by God to serve Him in. We don't understand these things, but we see it, and because we see it, we are motivated to strive with greater determination. If God didn't have some of them there in the way that they were in, living and serving Him in that condition, many of us might have feel justified in feeling sorry for ourselves. But when we see some in that condition, then we cannot feel sorry for ourselves. We realize it. We may think we have it hard at times, but here are those in whom the word is really being exhibited and being displayed. Amen. So I trust that we truly would be written epistles read of all men. It's part of what I want to speak today. I want to begin a little series on the seal of God. I believe in the hour we must know if we are sealed by His Holy Spirit. Proverbs say, if we are sealed in, the devil is sealed out. And you know, there's a lot of fanaticism a few years ago about the sealing, and many people just, well, everybody have their own ideas and a lot of different ways and do different things. And but to truly be sealed of God, to be sealed by His Word, to be approved by the Holy Spirit, And all this we talk about, the new ministry and all these things, is for people who have been sealed in and who have been formed into the image of the Word. And those who reject that, he says, will have the mark of the beast. There's only two things: the seal of God and the mark of the beast. And I've been preaching on souls in prison and souls in heaven, and then bringing from light to darkness. I want to take the same inspiration just to another dimension and more into the prophetic realm now, and bring it into the seal of God and the mark of the beast. And I don't know how much service it's going to take. We took about 15 services or more on the light and darkness, and we want to begin on this and try to bring it in a very fundamental way this morning, that when we begin to really strike the ceiling and, you know, the hour that we are living in, and more into the prophetic things, we could correctly understand it, knowing that from the scriptures we have really laid it out what it really is. So it'll be in a very fundamental way, I guess, but I trust God will help us. You know, when you want to really deal with a subject in a in-depth way, you really want to lay it out in the way that we can know it scripturally, so we have a place to base our faith. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. We're going to begin reading from verse 1. And he says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a scroll written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the scroll, neither to look on it. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the scroll, neither to look on it. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll and out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, incense, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation, people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.'" And Revelation 7, verses 1 to 4. I want to take this in a certain way that it would give us a different view of it. "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.' And I heard a number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." One more verse. Revelation 14, verse 1. So if you've caught the scripture reading already, you would see that the book was sealed and the people is sealed. That's what I want to bring. God sealed his word and he sealed his people.
Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So they were sealed with the seal of God in their foreheads. And what it was their father's name written in their foreheads. That's what the seal was. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, thou knowest how dependent I am on thee, Lord, to bring this subject, which I don't believe none of us here is qualified to bring. But Lord, no one is going to take the operation of the Holy Spirit to open the word and to inspire our hearts and to give us understanding, the spirit of revelation, moving our hearts, we can grasp the word with faith. There would not just be the letter and information and trying to learn thoughts, but it would be faith being inspired and creating our souls to bring, Lord, such a personal identification with thee and to bring us into a true relationship with thee. We might know thee and understand thee and walk with thee in this hour. That same harmony that exists between the Father and the Son would now exist between the bridegroom and the bride. That is what we desire to accomplish through the ministry of the word. And I pray you grant this blessing unto us. And you bless our efforts to do so. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. Amen. We have a couple announcements. I would like to make them while the minds are fresh and will fall into real faith in your heart, not when you're all sluggish and tired maybe and you just pass through one A and go through the next one. But the first one we have is a library service, some temporary arrangements. We mentioned last week we were going to try to arrange something for the believers and all the saints that live in the north and the east. Believers who normally exchange tapes on Sundays may continue to do so as usual. An outpost has been temporarily set up at the office of Shaw Security Services. That's where Brother Steve's place of work is, and where the sisters who help the library, they also work there with him in the office. And a temporary outpost has been set up there, and that is at the corner of Abercrombie and Buena Vista Street, St. Joseph. The corner of Abercrombie and Buena Vista Street, St. Joseph, Shaw Security Services. And believers wishing to exchange tapes during the week can make use of this facility between the hours of 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And please know that they and the other hours are responsible for the work in the workplace. It's not library hours. Please understand that by the grace of God that the hours for this, what we are trying to do to make it easier and of benefit to the assembly, is between the hours of 12 and 1, which in other words, they are trying to do that during the lunch hours, and is on Wednesdays and Thursdays up here. So you want a tape borrow from the library to hear, you could just get up there and have it by the grace of God. In San Fernando, the believers who normally exchange tapes on Wednesdays can do so on Sundays. However, for those living in the South, the library will be open all day Wednesdays. On other days, that is Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday and Friday, Sister Margaret Walters will assist in need. She lives right next door and she's going to be there. So whatever day in South that you are there and you would need a tape or like to borrow a book or something from the library, then you can get it right there by the grace of God. Amen? All day is right there. I just hope you don't feel like 12 o'clock in the night. You know, you just feel, you know, I mean, just let's try to help out on every side. The ceiling contribution is now $28,400. And we haven't really reached the halfway mark as yet. And we really want to rise up and meet the challenge by the grace of God. Amen. Praise God. I want to take a few moments here just to, from the desk, express on behalf of the building committee and even behalf of the assembly our sincere thanks and gratitude for the brothers over the past weeks who have labored so unselfishly and have gone just leaps and bounds and just sleep up there for nights and, you know, get up early in the morning and begin to work and work right through and until the sun goes down and sometimes into the night. And may God richly bless you for it. We can never say enough nice words to encourage you. And I'll just, myself and some of the other members on the trustee board, you know, yesterday were just speaking about it. The brothers, you know, working in such a harmony, in such a unity, a spirit, and so fervently, you know. And I was up there a few days in the daytime, and, you know, you could, it was visible to see the spirit upon them in which they worked. And it was really very outstanding, and may God richly bless you for your labors. And I trust that the people would appreciate that. I know that they do, and I say it on behalf of them. And we all would keep united in our endeavors to see our goal accomplished. You know, I was here watching some of the brothers coming this morning, and some leaving our seat, and they stand all along the building, and, you know, it hurts in your heart to see that people have to come and stand up like that and don't even have a seat. Sometimes, you know, Satan just wants to come and in your mind and show you sometimes, look, you know, people sitting down and you standing up, and you got to take the whole service like that. And maybe sometimes you're neglected or you're unattended to, or maybe, you know, that's just your portion. And sometimes you may be down already and going through many hard times, and then come right in, nobody may not even know what you're going through. And you walk right through the door, and then you don't even have a seat also. So you just add more pressure upon your mind. And but, you know, I made mention to the ushers, I say, you know, some of the trustees there, I said, look, let some of the brothers who even work hard in the building, and when they come, they get a chance to rest their weary legs and sit in the house of God. I say, Brother Stephen Sam in the back, I trust we find a seat for him. Amen. Brother Tony Lewis there, I, you know, is telling the brothers they should get a hold of him, you know, because he made such a contribution in the early stage in the building, and they was calling for carpenters recently, and I was asking if they didn't get a hold of him or talk to him. Such a fine spirit and such a willing person to help. And, you know, some of the brothers on the outside there, I just wish in some way that we could maybe have a seat for them. You know, they come in the house of God, and we're trying to get everybody inside. That's what we want to do, because we want to see the faces of the people you minister to especially. And sometimes, you know, you see those there that the Spirit could really, Bible said Jesus looked and saw the faith. You know, he could really reach out and really minister to one, and God could really give that extra something just where it might be needy. So let us have real faith and believe God, and it's good for us to be here. Amen. I truly appreciate the atmosphere and the participation in the services, and we truly can feel, you know, something extra and sense it, and it does us good. We know God sees our efforts to please Him. God sees our willingness to try a little harder, to be a little more sincere, to have a little more ambition and count His work, knowing that He has given us the responsibility to carry it out. We carry it out in a way that He could have the preeminences to meet the needs among the people. Sometimes we could struggle and struggle and struggle with a situation, and if He could just come right in the scene, our struggles are over. But for Him to come in and operate, it must be the way He requires to give Himself the privilege to operate. And not so much outward fixing, it's internal fixing. But when it's fixed internally, the Holy Spirit can just flow right through. Every attitude right, every expectation right, every heart just right. You know, we all come in the right motive, the right objective. Is no limit what God will do for us. I believe it. You know, He promised it in His word. God will give false promises, and we can expect all that God has promised. Our brother Mervyn Marine, I was talking with him on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, the day up in Ebel Country, and you know, he was so just elated and overflowing with joy. I told him, I said, Mervyn, I'd maybe like you to give a few words of testimony, you know, because he was just so blessed, and maybe if you don't give it, I may just speak here, but I would like him to maybe at the end of the service take about 5 minutes and just, you know, give a little, it was flowing out his heart, and you know, you know it went red hot. Your seat went red hot. You know, sometimes your seat kind of warm over, it put in foil, it's in deep freeze, it take out like, you know, make pastel sometime, you know, 3 months inside of there. It didn't really stay, it didn't really spoil. And we know just the principles to get heat up over and taste like it fresh, you know what I mean? But they'd have some just bubbling out right there, just on the spot, you know, and he had one of them, you know, it wasn't like looking for it in a deep freeze. And I thought, I think he's going to be good, brother, because he loves God a lot, and you know, he was testifying how, you know, with the new administration, the church, he went home and he, you know, set his home in order, and the blessings begin to happen, and the obstacles begin to come, and the Holy Spirit begin to move. I can leave him to tell it. So I just had a little note of praise because after the prayer was offered Sunday, his daughter was under such intense pain and what she was going through in the hospital and everything else, and didn't have a bowel movement for over a week. And the Holy Spirit just released her like that. And, you know, she was up on her rung with praising God and everything else. So you have one or two things they would like to share on it. And that's about what I was going to read here in any case. So I'll leave the rest of the tell me at the end of the service. We try to give him about 5 minutes to just say what's in his heart there. So Brother Grafton Beebe would like to give back praise unto God for delivering him from the virus. We prayed for him last week, and he's out here this morning, and he said he believed that while prayer was being offered, he was made whole again. Amen? So it's good. The Bible said the man was sitting right there in the midst, whom was made well by the Lord. So that is good that when sometimes somebody said, I know the praise, you didn't see them. Prayer request, you didn't see them. Said, I know the praise, you still didn't see them. Amen? But when the man could come back in the house of God to give thanks, then you're thankful by the grace of God. So God bless his heart. Amen. You know, time slips away and we could just stay so long without here becoming too hot. But may God cool us off if we strive to be, if we feel too hot before we hit the place we want to hit. Amen. I don't know where we're going to stop or where we're going to go, but I would like to begin this morning a little series, I said. And I would like to take for a title, The Seal of the Living God, to start with. And start with a subject on the sealed book and the sealed bride. And we are just picking up our inspiration on the light and darkness to a little higher level now. Bring it more into the prophetic realm, because it's going to come to a place in this hour where there's only two things that's going to come down to: the seal of God and the mark of the beast. Amen. And I want to kind of teach this, and I trust, you know, when we're going to teach, we kind of take our time and strike it right and turn it in your Bibles and read different places. You could get it that you of yourself could study it over. And it would be good for us to do it that way, because knowing that we only meet once a week and then you get home, you have something to share with your family. You don't have to go look in here and look in there and trying to scrape the barrel. You could just take the corn that you pick up in the field and make a loaf of bread with it when you go home. Amen. And by the way, I got a chance to listen to the exhortation of the brothers while I was away, and I want to say it was very nice. Amen. I think it was wonderful, and may God bless them for the gallant efforts and the instruction that the Holy Spirit used them to go into the Word and wave to the hearts of the people. I didn't even know what they were going to be speaking on, and when I came back, because I don't normally listen to what goes on, but I thought that since we in this new administration, let me really hear, you know, what's happening and see how God is dealing with them and what's in their hearts. And I really appreciated the things that were spoken. Amen. And I really appreciated the report that I receive. of your willingness and participation, especially in the tip services, where it reflects a real commitment. Those are the type of services that will reflect the commitment. And it's only because we have one service at present, I don't want to play the tape on the Hebrews and just pick it back up. I said we're going to leave it and we're going to pick it up when we get a chance to have more than one service. But I know we have many people coming in a service like this and they need to be ministered to, especially when you know the needs and you know the present time and exactly the things you want emphasized to the congregation. So that's why I'm taking the opportunity to minister. But nevertheless, we want to get back to the Hebrews as soon as God will help us to get it, because that Hebrew seemed to be very elusive. You notice Brother Abraham himself never could finish it. He only had 7 chapters, but really 13 chapters in the book of Hebrews. But in that 7, I tell you, you see, it comes like, you get the first 7, you get the rest. Correct? So you get the first 3 chapters of Revelation, the whole book will open to you right away, if you really get by Revelation. So if you get them 7 chapters of Hebrews, you have the whole book of Hebrews. Don't be scared, it's right there. You see? So we wanted to take that because it's perfection time. And that's why I want to also speak a bit on the seal of God, because you're not sealed, you're not going away. And if you're not sealed, you want to know why you're not sealed. And if you need to be sealed, then, you know, there's one who has the seal of God. God has a seal. Amen. God has a seal. It's called the seal of God. There's all kinds of seals. Many of them, we have a seal in this church right here that we put on church documents. And it shows it's official, it's authentic, it's valid on behalf of the church. See? When that church stamp is put upon it, that means it's been authorized, it can go out as coming from the church, and it could be something that would be a representation of the body that gathers here. Well, the same way God has a seal too. And he put his seal upon his documents. And there's a reason why a seal is affixed to certain things. To give validity to it. To approve it, to confirm it, to show its authenticity. That's why you affix a seal to it. And God has a purpose for having a seal. And for using a seal. You understand that? You see, many times we just say the seal of God, and we think a lot of different things in our minds. We quote a finished work, eternal security, and you know, we just say those things. But we want to look at it and see exactly, why does God need a seal? Why does God have a seal? What does he use a seal for? What does God indicate when he seals a person? And where does it place the person who God have attaches a seal to? Amen. Alright, so those are the things we have in mind as we want to begin, because we see definitely God seal his word. Because whenever the seal of God is spoken in the Bible, it's either speaking of his seal word or his seal people. His seal book. Amen? But the bride is a book too. And the same seal that he puts on his book is the same seal he puts on his people. Because the book wasn't sealed with straps. It didn't have a wax seal attached to it. And then we find out his seal and his name goes together. Because that's what a seal signifies to begin with. Amen? Alright. So I want especially young people and especially little ones here. And I tell them little boys look like a bunch of little theologians in front of it is. All of them have the books, all of them have the pen, all of them have the paper. So I like that. Amen. I like to see that. And I want to see them write down the scriptures and, you know. And it shows that they are paying attention. You know, I was able to get in early this morning and listen to a little bit of the Sunday school. And I want to say I appreciate very much the efforts of the Sunday school teachers. And also, we still have people, you know, sometimes they want to go down there and pray right behind the board and around there, you know. You know, let me tell you this. When you come in and you're told, come over here and pray, please. you're going to be there and you might attract the children's attention from the teacher. You might try to get close there, and especially some of you grown-ups, you get around the class and you sit down there and you make it difficult for the teacher who is trying to teach the children. When a lot of you get down there, we don't want nobody to check out the Sunday school teacher. If you're there, have a smile on your face. Show you're enjoying what's being said and you're glad that the children are being taught. And have something on your face that could inspire a liberty for the person that is there. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you. You said I don't mean nothing. I show in the Bible where God hit a proud look. Where even your countenance. That's why I say, I like to look at certain people when I'm preaching. That's something, I won't even look at them. Sure. If I look at them, I get annoyed right away. I have to rebuke the look of their face or something. Just drop it in the message and keep on going. Remember when Brother Brown was preaching? He said, a Catholic man, like he disagreed with everything I'm saying. The man sitting on like that and looking. It's not the way to pull. You don't pull with faith in that kind of way. Amen. It's a way to pull with faith. It's a way to, when you're eating pie and you're enjoying it, you see somebody for the, this food real nice, boy. Give me some more of that. You ever see somebody eat food like that and enjoy it? But about somebody colored man, he said, you have more watermelon? He slapped it on you. You have more watermelon? Pass some more watermelon. That's the way you enjoy the word. Amen. Praise God. See? That's the way we enjoy the word in the presence of God. You can imagine somebody coming and saying, victory, victory, victory. And you know, you said they have the victory? No, sir. David said, my cup run it over, but the Bible said, anointed, run on Aaron, beard all down his garments. It was all on the outside. Amen. It was all, he said, it was all over him. And that's the way it ought to be. So, that's the way we want to see it. We want to feel, we want to get out of the service what we come for. And if you have to move around to change seats, just try to do it quietly and in a way that you will not disturb anybody. Amen? So let's look into our subject a little bit. I want to begin here with a little quote here for you. A couple of quotes on the seal of God, a message that was preached by Brother Bram in 1961. I want to use that for a little background as we start. He said, now it's a great subject, and I think that one of the essential subjects that should be taught on. Now we have had gospel sermons, we have had divine healing, and we ought to, but this is based like on the second coming of Christ, on the second coming. This is based on the second coming. Once we talk about the second coming, we talk about the seal of God, we talk about the mark of the beast, and these six, because they are, the ones with the seal of God, you are not going in that coming. When they come to Revelation 10, with that book, he's coming to call out them names and seal them with the Holy Spirit. So that they will not be caught in the destruction that is coming upon the face of this earth. Amen. So he said, now we know that these two great things are ending up soon. And the world is gripped by these two things right now. The mark of the beast and the seal of God is gripped right now. Especially why I thought that we started to look at some of these things. Because in the prophetic realm, so much is happening. The title of the council, all these things, is to force us into the image. Is to force us and close us down because the whole thing is being tied up economically. You don't buy or sell if we have the mark of the beast. Amen. And the only people who are really going to make a real stand is those who have the seal of God. All right. And the whole world is gripped by these two things. Some of them places it that way over in the future, some says it's already in the past. But I believe that there's just two answers to it. And that is the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the mark of the beast is rejecting. And we want to prove them things by the word. That is just a statement. We can say it. We want to prove those things by the word. Now that's the only two things, and we'll give you scripture why now as we go through. Now, one of them is, remember, all the people on earth in the last days is either going to be sealed by the seal of God or marked by the mark of the beast. Amen. And those two great things. Now, going to start first upon the seal of God. Now, what is a seal? The first place is seal in the Bible. Back in the days before people had education like they have now, the seal was their signature. What was the seal? The signature. You got to write a check or something. You got to put your signature upon it. You endorse it. See? You have a certain product that you're marketing. You have a special mark that you put upon it to show that that is a special product, is your product, and nobody else can come and copy that or impersonate or try to take your product, you see, or try to counterfeit your seal because you put a mark upon it. See? Now, so you say that seal was a signature, just like we use today as our name. Now, in many forms in our natural life, we come across things similar with a mark or a seal or a brand name or a tag or whatever you want to call it. A label, whatever. And certain things, because of the label it carries, it means a mark of quality. It means this is not the cheap impersonation. That's why most of these people like these designer clothing and these things. They like a certain, it's a certain name. And what you're really buying is that name, because that name means certain quality. It means being either handmade or specially selected materials or different things. It means that this is not any cheap impersonation that you could buy off the conqueror just like that. See? So, whether a man is a product, whether it's a garment, whatever it is, he puts his mark upon it that identifies it with the person who it belongs to or who is the designer, the creator of it, the inventor of it. You see, you can buy a car, and you know some of these people, you know, they like to put different stickers and different things in there. They buy a certain, maybe Volkswagen, they put a little part of a Mercedes-Benz, and they put it on upon it or something like that, and it's not a Mercedes-Benz, but you look right away and see it. But they try to put a name or something, or put a Porsche on another car or something. Now, those people, when they make the product, sometimes another manufacturer make something similar, but they change the name slightly. You know, like guys, I don't watch Rolex and Rulex and Bolivia, and all kind of different things. And you know, you get mixed up with it because they make it look similar and they put a name very similar to it. Like they have these cornflakes people here who are the Kellogg brand. You know, the way they're advertising in the States, and they make them change it. Because it's already established in the minds of the consumer what the Kellogg's look like, and the Kellogg's have labored over the years to bring out a quality product that get the market and the name for quality. Then some Johnny come lately want to jump up and steal the limelight and become famous overnight by tapping into somebody labor and what somebody, you know, battle with for years and try to push it right there. So they close it down and they say, no, you can't do that. You gotta have your own thing original. Amen. Now you're finding the same with God. See, that's why all these little churches that raise up here, Methodist, Baptist, all these different things, that's where that's not the original church where it starts. Where do you think the original church where it was? Where God started? God never changed that. But all they come with little names, the Church of God, or, you know, the Apostolic Church, or they call that different name, Jehovah Witnesses. We are the real Jehovah Witnesses. Paul was a Jehovah Witness. Moses was a Jehovah Witness. A witness is one who see, and they met Jehovah. And Jehovah is Jesus. Amen. So brother, you know, you see, when you really look, they take all kind of names and they give it a name, and nothing's wrong in the sense that basically they're trying to counterfeit something. They're trying to make a claim and get in and take over the image that they are the church. When they don't really have the real mark of the one who designed the church, who created the church. That's why the problem is that there's 5 definite identifications of the true church. You're not going to touch on a name, or you're not going to have a program that you're going to try to do what is in the church. No. God had that laid out. He said the seal was a person's signature. Just like we use today our name. Sometimes the Roman and all back in Jewish, way back in the early Eastern countries, they have a ring.
If you couldn't sign your name, that, you see, they had a seal, and that seal was a bona fide statement. Was sealed by the seal. I remember as a conqueror, it was bona fide. We were going to, in the States years ago, and some Margaret wanted to go, and we tried to carry her, you know, to travel overseas. And, you know, the American embassy was very, very strict, and the man's name was Strickland. So, you know, we went there, and I went to the man, I talked to him and said, yes, sir, you know, she's a sister in the church and a secretary. We kind of polish up, you know, the name, and says, you know, and then she's also going to help here with the children. And we're going up there and all expenses taken care of and everything else. The man said, what's your age? He said, you have to have your own bona fide. Well, it took me a little while to check over the man talking about bona fide. See, so you of age, you have to have your own name, your own credentials. When they start to show that you can stand on your own. Your papers will be legal and everything else. You're not going to go into somebody else's papers. See? So it is here in the olden days. They try to copy a man's signature. People still try to do it today. You get a forged check. Try to copy a man's signature to make it look like that, to claim something under false pretenses. And that was a federal punishment. That was a capital crime. So a seal was a bona fide statement that was sealed by the seal. To try to copy it was a capital fine. Just like it would not be now to forge a check, somebody name on a check. It was a great fine to copy the seal. And usually the man who had the seal, he wore it on the back of his wrist or either on his ring. And he would seal it instead of signing his name. That was to show he had sealed it. So we're going to develop that a little bit as we go on. But let's lay down a little background for you. That's why I want to bring this in a very fundamental way first as we start. Because once we get into them prophetic things, you know, with what they read, why, whose name was in the book and being sealed out and all them different things, then it's going to get a little deeper. But the thing is that many times we miss what God is doing. And we try to attach sensation to a seal. It has nothing to do with a seal. The word seal indicates sensation. It's bona fide, legality, authenticity. Amen. So here now on the mark of the beast, he said, now the mark of the beast and the seal of God. Now you, how many were here last night? You teach the seal of God first and you brought the mark of the beast after. Now, I had to take both of the subjects and put them together because they run parallel one to the other. I think that the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible supports that. The mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Spirit. There's only two classes of people. And on the side of salvation and rejecting began in Genesis like everything else. And then he says, now a seal being the mark. How that this seal was used instead of a name. Put it on. And the name of Jesus Christ is the seal of God. All right now, because when these people were sealing their forehead, all right. Now the same way the Bible says the others have the name of the beast in their forehead also. Okay, your forehead is your revelation. We're going to get it after a while too. See, your understanding, that's why the clear understanding of the word. Amen. It will show what is written there and who writes it in there. Well, the devil is only counterfeiting what God is doing. The righteousness of God, he says, the name of the Lord is a mighty tower, the righteous will run indeed and are safe. Is that God's seal? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Is that right? Whosoever, whatsoever you do in the name, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. You should know the name is a seal. Because if you ask God for something, you must use that name. If you're going to get baptized, you must use that name. Because that is the seal. You have to use his seal. Because it belongs to him alone. All these things. He paid the price for it. The gift of the Holy Ghost, the seal of God, God's mark, seal, identification is the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want to show you that name was to be revealed in those seven thunders, and that name is connected to that third pole. So it's all there I'm going. But first, before we get quite there, we're going to pass and come there consciously. I remember when I learned to drive, the man tell me, he says, If you go from point A to point B, he said you have to know every inch of the way how you get there. If there's one part of the place you don't know how the car reached there, it shows you had a blank mind. He said that don't work on the road. He said if you get from point A to point B, you better know every inch of the way how you get there. And the prophet said to know you get your answers correct, you better show by your work in how you get an answer. Alright, so the thing is, we say, I feel a seal. Well, I know a seal, I'm talking about experience. We don't talk more than that. Amen. Alright now. The gift of the Holy Spirit is of God. God's mark of identification is the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus comes into you, puts his spirit in, no matter how many names you write on the outside of it, if the spirit is in there, it bears records of truth. Amen. So, those little things there. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is death. And John 14:6 says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Amen? So, there is only one way God has for saving man. Amen? And to reject that way is where condemnation comes. So from the time we know that we're not going to be trying to serve God, we're going to want to know the way God said to come. That's the biggest problem right there. Everybody sometimes they feel, well, God will deal with me this way. You can't hear people say it. They say, well, God will deal with me this way. You say, well, show me in the Bible where God will deal with you that way. They can't show you. But yet they hold on to it, and you try to show them, that is why you don't have the victory. That's why your life don't really amount to nothing. That's why these identifications in the world, it don't follow you. That's why you don't receive the revelation you're supposed to have. You see, that's why your life just seems to come to a spot and don't go beyond that. Because there is only one way provided by God for everything. And that is what God wanted to get across in this generation when he sent the prophet. He had to tell him, I bless what you do for a season. I allow you to have that for a time, but that is not the way. You all have to forsake all them ways and come the only way. Amen. And God, we know that God don't reject a man for drinking or smoking or lying or stealing or committing adultery. God reject a man for refusing the word that God provide for the man deliverance. You don't get vexed with a pig is born a pig. You never pig nature. A pig going to love the mud. If you understand the pig you're dealing with, half of your struggle is finished. Because you know it's a pig and the behavior is a pig and you have to do that. Yes. If you don't do that, then it's something else you're dealing with. But you must know what you're dealing with in order to deal with it correctly. Is that right? Yes. Alright. So, once you know that God has a provided way, and from Genesis, the prophet said these two things, it starts in Genesis. One, the seal of God starts in Genesis. Because if we read it here in the book of Revelation, we see that Revelation 4, maybe you told me and read a couple of scriptures here quickly too. You can be in your Bible a lot this morning, so just keep it close to you. Revelation 14, verse 9, it says, and the third angel, no, we have quite a long way to go and a lot of scriptures to read, so we want to do a little fast, okay? And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever, and they had no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So right here we see that when this message was being given, it was a warning of people to people who was going to be caught in that system, who was going to be caught with that mark of the beast, the kind of torment and punishment that was going to follow. So it means to say then verse chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out your vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a foul and painful sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon them who worshipped the image. In other words, God, when he was coming down in judgment, God wasn't just, God was specific with his judgment, who he was pouring out his judgment upon. That the Bible says, it tells the judgment, a fallen painful sore, but it says the people who had that judgment executed upon them. It was them people who had that mark of the beast. It was them people who worshipped that image. In other words, then that had to be something that God is displeased with. Then there had to be something that a man, now if we are living in this hour before that severe judgment is poured out, why would a man read the Bible and see that and still want to hold on to that? Could a man do that? Could a man see the right way and then willfully reject the right way and then take that way that will bring God judgment? People are like that. That's exactly what Cain did. Is that right? God said, do like your brother and I'll receive it. God showed him the right way. The seal of God, which I'm going to show you, Abel had the seal of God. God set a seal upon Abel. We understand what the seal is here? Okay. So notice, right here in the book of Revelation, we see that those who had the mark of the beast were destroyed. And as we read in our scripture, in Revelation 7, when the earth was fixing to be destroyed, and all the winds were going to blow upon it and hurt the earth and hurt the sea and hurt all these things, God said, hold it! Hold back that judgment! Because I must seal my elected so that they will not be touched by this judgment. So the same way God is concerned about protecting his own, he's specific about pouring out the judgment upon the people who was in the system that was contrary to God's word. Notice that. God is not a madman and just throwing wild blows. Who gets licks and lashing? God will get lashing. God is looking for man who worship the beast. God is looking for man who have that mark in their forehead. Who is in that image. Exactly. And then God, people who overcame them things, who maybe would have had to suffer hardship, had to go through hard times, had to go through persecution, had to be denied the privileges to live a comfortable life, to stay with the word. When the time comes, God look for them too and mark them and seal them away that they will not be touched by those things. Let me tell you, God is interested in what kind of stand we take for his word. God put us here and put the word before us that we can choose what is right or what is wrong. And when a man takes a stand for the word, God honors that. God is pleased with that. And God identifies himself with him. I mean, they're healing all these things. You know, so now we excited ourselves about healing. Boy, like I want to see the sick heal. I want to see this. The reason the sick and the healed make them go, we don't know who we are. Or we don't understand how to appropriate these things. Or we don't know exactly how God have made these things so secure for us. Because when a man identifies himself with God's word, and God identifies himself with that person who makes a true stand, a clean, we heard the message last week, a clean cut decision for that word and stand with it. Let me tell you, God stands behind that. So notice something. Now these two subjects, let me say, it run parallel. Why does it run parallel? Because one is to reject the word. God is both redeemer and God is both is judge. He's both redeemer and judge. He's lamb and lion. And that's why when we take a seal of the God, we're going to bring it all back to the seals and the vials and those things, because exactly under those seals is where his Redeemer. Where he's actually marking them and sealing them away. And when he's judged, he's coming to execute his judgment upon those who rejected his word. They refused his seal. They wanted something else. They refused God provided way. They wanted another way. Sometimes you see a man reject the word because I ain't like the man who preached in the word. Or I ain't like the church then. Or I find the building too old. Or they preach too hard. Or they preach too long. And they don't realize when they bring in, you know, they go on the belief of error. Yes. They're going to walk in the way of the world. Because they refuse to be submitted to God's way. Sure. And from the very beginning of the Bible, God, the Bible says, let's read Hebrews 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Speak of Cain and Abel. Every religion started right there in Genesis. Because if it's in Revelation, it must be in Genesis. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Now watch this. God was testifying of Abel's gifts. God was giving testimony of Abel's gifts. And it says Abel was more righteous. Why he was more righteous? Because God testified of his gifts. But by faith he offered those gifts. And what is faith? Revelation. What are the righteousness he had? The faith. And God testified of his righteousness, of his faith. Look at Romans 4 and see what that is. How did God testify of it? God sat on the pillar of fire. God gave witness. A physical witness that Cain could see. To show that Abel didn't have a thought. Abel had a vindicated word. Many people just think you have a thought. They think you're bringing a thought. They don't see God putting his word in your mouth. They don't see you speaking as God. God speaking to you. When the Spirit of truth is come where? How? He will lead you and guide you into all truth. That is the Comforter. Comfort one another with these words from the Comforter. Amen. Look at Romans 4:11. Let's take on verse 9. Talk about Abraham. Paul writing about Abraham. Same one who wrote about Abel. Commit this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How can it be reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised. Abraham had that righteous faith. And God gave him an outward sign that could be visible even to the eye of man. Is that right? Of the seal, and that was a seal of his faith. God put a seal. God was sealing Abraham's faith. The right of his faith. That's what Paul says. He says, the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith. What was the seal of the righteousness of Abel's faith? Abel was more righteous. By faith, he was more righteous. God testified of his gifts. God's testimony of Abel's gifts was a seal of God upon Abel's faith. God didn't leave Cain to wonder that a thought. God come down and identify himself with it. And said, that's me. Amen. He is reflecting me, the great shepherd. His lamb is reflecting me, the lamb of God. The only redeemer there is. Amen. So what's something? So right there, Cain, look at that seal of God, of God, which is God testifying of the righteousness of Abel's faith. Because Abraham's natural sign in his flesh was the seal of his righteousness. God had to seal his righteousness a second time, you know. That was the seal of his righteousness before God. Now watch. God put a seal upon him. Because when Stephen come afterwards, he talk about the uncircumcised in heart. And he took that same seal and bring it over into the spirit realm. Is that right? Alright. Now watch. Because the mark of the beast is to do what? Reject the seal of God. Where it can reject the seal of God, then they get marked. If the first marking of a human being was Cain, where did he reject the seal of God to get marked? And what was the seal he rejected? Did God put a seal on Abel? What was the seal that God put on Abel? Let me come back to you again. A seal is, what is a seal? A signature. Name. God's name was not Lamb Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby a man could be saved, but in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God that came to die for salvation. Is that right? That was Abel Lamb right there. Okay? Now watch. So God's name, his seal, his signature, his endorsement, his approval. His approval that this is the genuine, legal, official, authentic, the only way I will recognize. That's why he vindicated. He vindicated to make Abel, you know, get some sense, emotion. He vindicated to say, this is the way. Any other way is not recognized. Identify with this. I put my endorsement upon it. This is valid. Amen? Amen? And Cain reject that. And when he rejected it, you know God said do it. He wouldn't do it. He was willfully disobedient. He was marked and separated from the presence of God because he refused God's provided way. He rejected God's plan of salvation. Listen carefully. You mean the very first two human beings, one had a ticket coming out of the mouth of another person? That's how God starts in Genesis? I mean, that's the beginning. That's where it starts right here. And Cain refused it. And he was marked. He didn't forsake his way of worship. He held on to his way of worship and he carried on and continued with it, even though it was not vindicated by God. So watch, as we begin to develop this subject on the seal of the living God, we want to go slowly and show, take the seal and show what it was. Alright? Then show the purpose it is used for. Because we start with that seal. That's why I took that first place to show you that first seal there. Where it came. Because under the first seal in the word too, there was religious deception right there. Is that right?
Sure.
That word was sealed up. But Abel by faith was catching the mystery of that promise of redemption. How many understand that? If it wasn't sealed up, Cain would have got it. You're going to learn it by reading. Anybody going to have it? But it is by faith. It wasn't by five senses. It wasn't by reasoning neither, imagination. It wasn't a dream neither. By faith it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Because revelation is something in God. Amen. Revelation is suffering, so right there. But God knew from the beginning, he must put a seal upon his word and he must put a seal upon his people to whom he revealed that word. Because one is the written word and one is the manifested word. It's two books. You getting me? It's two books. My subject is the sealed book and the sealed bride. The book is sealed with seven seals and the bride is sealed with seven seals. Because the seal is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal. And the Holy Spirit sealed the book. And no man could have tampered that seal. All 200 years, reformers tried to tamper with the seal to get the contents in the book, and nobody could get it. It was sealed until its destination. Until the time of the seventh angel. Yeah. Hallelujah. Then it will be open in his hour. Amen. Glory be to God. Then God will show all seven seals of redemption in a man. Amen. Standing there. Upon the earth. Amen. The sealed book. We talk about the seal of God. Of the living God. In other words, when I say the seal of the living God, I mean the living God has a seal. I'm dealing about the seal of the living God. I'm not talking about the seal of the president. I'm not talking about the seal of the prime minister. I'm talking about the seal of the living God. So understand how my subject is. Oh, the greatest thing for us to know, you have that seal. You have sealed you. Yes. You have written his name in your forehead. You don't wonder who he is. You don't guess who he is. You know him. Every time you come on the scene, you recognize him. Hallelujah! Every time you see him in your brother and sister, you know him. Every time someone personally try to claim him, amen, you know it right away because you know him. Amen! Glory! Oh, what a place! You have put the elect to stand in this hour. You know, that's why she can't be deceived. She's a wandering star, she's a wandering star. She's walking the air with the revelation of God inside of her. Amen. Amen. Our lives are hidden God with Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now watch. So this seal, we want to see what it is and what the purpose was used for. Also, we want to examine the act of sealing by the sealer. Because the sealer, the one who come to seal. Bible says that angel came to seal 144,000. He didn't give it the first 144,000 people he meet, you know. You understand that? Yeah. And he know when he sealed them, they from that moment on, they carry the evidence of being sealed within them. And if he sealed them, he'll have to relate to them as legal and valid and authentic. Because that's the purpose he put the seal on them for. You understand me? Let me tell you, God ain't looking for anybody to use in this hour, you know. God have a people, he put the seal upon them that they are the true bride. He has set the seal upon them. That God knows the service he wants done. And God knows the training he must train his people to make them prepare them. And you know the potential he must have in them, the representation by predestination in order to receive that training and come to the place to do that service. Amen. So when he come, he is looking specifically for them names that were sealed under the seals in the book. Because only who was sealed under the seals in the book could be sealed. Amen. When they manifested outside the book. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. When every age is just smitten names under that seal coming out in the earth. And when they're born into this earth, God knows they're laying there with the potential inside them. He looks for them because they were already sealed in His Word. They were chosen in Christ. Let me tell you, because they were sealed in that Word there, not even death could harm them. Hallelujah! They're born for a purpose in this earth. Amen. They may have all kind of ups and downs, all kind of ins and outs, all kind of obstacles. Like what Satan tried to kill Moses, tried to kill Jesus, do all what he could do, use the power to stay, change up the laws, everything else. But he could not get him. They were sealed up there. Manifest God's word in that hour. Because the seal, the foundation of God's standard show having what? The seal. What seal? God knoweth them that are His. Because he that don't have the Spirit of Christ is none of His. But God knoweth them that are His because they have the seal. But he that don't have the seal, don't have the Spirit of Christ, is none of His. Because all God owns seal with God's seal. Amen. Let me tell you, the world may guess at them, but they don't have to guess at themselves. Amen. The world may call them all kind of fanatics, but they know they're no fanatic. The prophet said, he said, I've never rolled yet, but if you call me Holy Roller. But if you tell me to roll, I'll come rolling hard as I could. Amen. Yes, sir. He said, I'll come rolling as hard as I could. Hallelujah. Glory. He knew he was no fanatic. He knew he was sane as anything else. He said, if you think I'm crazy, leave me this way. I feel better this way. Hallelujah. Why? He was sealed. Amen. God put an identification that this man... Amen. Out in the field, among all them thousands and thousands of churches and people, he said, no, this man is my servant. His name was under that seventh seal. Yes. He was manifest on the outside here. Therefore, he had to be sealed. Yes. And only then he could bring that mystery that no one else could get under that seal. It was sealed up. But because one was sealed, amen, he could bring it forth. He could manifest it. He could live it out. He could prove God keeps His word. Don't you realize that what you are sent into the earth for? God has put something inside of you. Amen. God has protected you. God has watched over you. Your name was in this book inside of here. Let me tell you. Adam had this book in the beginning. May not be in the form of a page and a book like this. May not even be in the form of a scroll with a natural seal. But the revelation, the very plan of redemption, them very sons was to come by Adam. He was given Eve that he could reproduce his own self. And this book went back in the hands of God. Whatever form it was, it went back in the hands of God. You understand me? And then it come back down on the earth in the last days. And open up to us this Bible, this very word of God that was in the mind of God all the time. But then you find your name inside this book. Then you was back there in the plan of God to come in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah! You was right there supposed to come. But when Adam followed Eve, he forfeited that. And you couldn't come by the word. You couldn't come in the original Eden. You had to end up coming in Satan Eden. But there's always been a travail, a soul, and a deep calling. All little children, he said, don't you feel the travail to go back to Eden? Because that's where you were supposed to come to begin with. Hallelujah. That's why them trumpets in the fanaticism, he shows you. Amen. That deep, amen, the real thing. And the hour is here, and the world system will change. Because he's taking you back there. You ain't funny. You used to think you're funny. You ain't funny. If you're funny, you're only funny to the world. Amen. But as far as God concerned, you're real as ever. Amen. Because there is something inside. There's a reality inside here. Oh my, there's a reality inside of here. You found out you are son of God when this plan was open. When he lost these seven seals. And did the book Adam had? Yeah. And you saw when it was open, you were supposed to be here in this age. This age. Yeah. Then when that become true now, or when it was back there? Did God add anything to the book after Adam forfeited? It means that I was supposed to come there. God knew I was going to be there. Amelia, now you walk in and get saved, you know. You was always saved. You ain't trying to make believe that feeling, you know. That feeling is real. The Holy Ghost give that feeling. God give that feeling. Hallelujah. The devil may want to get in your senses, in your emotion, in your reason, and tell you, you're trying to feel that you shouldn't feel that way. Let me tell you, God making you feel so. If you don't have feeling, something wrong. Because that you're feeling, amen, that goes when you're being a find out you was there to begin with. Amen. Yes, sir. Glory be to God, amen. He sealed up his word. That's why from way back there, Adam by revelation will speak it out. He will speak all seven mysteries. He will speak them. He will call them names. Amen. He will bring them sons into expression. It was in the book when? Before the foundation of the world. It was all in yet to be brought. Amen. Let me tell you, that's why I say you wasn't saved on no certain day. Amen. You see that God didn't think about you 2,000 years ago. No. God didn't just, you know, think about you when you was crying and going to. That was the stuff he used to bring you crying, Abba Father. Yeah. You say, oh God, I pray. That problem I had as I was going through, it's just I turned to the Lord. No, you always have to come. He just used that stuff to bring you. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, little bride, lift your eyes. Amen. To another horizon. And see. Way back there, you see, you had to come here and be manifested and receive your experience. Amen. Of that deep calling of seeing the manifestation of that word, that promised word that quicken you and bring you to life. You had to have that experience because you were already sealed under the book. It's impossible for the names that are sealed in the book not to be sealed when they're manifested outside the book. All that their father had given me will come, and I will lose none of them. That's why the Holy Ghost come. You wasn't seeking salvation, you were seeking redemption. Amen. Hallelujah, because you was always saved. You can't be seeking salvation, you're just seeking to go back to the position you fell from as a son of God. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Glory. So get that what is in your heart. That what you feel. No one is what you feel, what you travail for, what you speak to. It made personalized before you one day, right before you. Amen. Glory be to God. But it'll do something over these eyes, and you will look beyond that wall of natural into the supernatural. Oh, my skin veil that veil you from the glory of God. You look beyond it. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now, so what is that seal and the purpose that it is used for? Let's see the seal word and the seal bride. God seal his word. That's why people get so confused about taking the book. He takes the book. Breaks the seals. When he breaks the seals, he reveals who the bride was. You mean the seals broke and you didn't know who the bride was? That's the first thing. That's the first thing that was being revealed. It showed why that man stood up in the generation and would not be intimidated by the state, would not be intimidated by the false church, would not go with the crowd, but conviction struck their heart, point them towards Calvary, amen, and we're going to preach the mess of the blood, amen, no denomination, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. Why? Because there's a channel open to them. The Holy Spirit in His sovereign grace would drop down there and put the word in their hearts. It wasn't nothing that they were capable of bringing their own selves. No, God just made it to come that way. God always had control over it. He might have used somebody's lips to call you, but it was God calling you. Amen. Glory. He was there all the time. He will see all the time. Walk in the midst of the seven golden candles. The unceasing care. Amen. Untiring. Laban watching over his flock. Knowing how much names in that book been manifested in seven ages was going to come forth. Amen. Now look. So the scripture plainly shows, we took it in Revelation 5 and Revelation 7, and we see that God has a seal. Amen? It's like the angel came with the seal of the living God. So we know God has a seal. We can go to different scriptures which go later on, like Ephesians 4, different things like that. But God has a seal. And we want to see what he uses it for and what is indicated. Because if anybody have a seal, the reason they have a seal or got a seal is because they intend to use the seal. And let's not use the seal for anything. That seal is to go on certain documents or on certain things. Amen. So the same. You see, the seal in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was a signet. That is only a symbol. So when God used the symbol of a seal, he is indicating and revealing what the symbol meant. Because in the spiritual realm, he's doing something similar. So he uses it as a seal. Because when you talk about a seal, it denotes certain things. It denotes certain things. Now the seal means to secure to anyone. To make sure. To set a seal or a mark upon something. Upon anything. In token of it being genuine or approved. It's to set a seal or a mark upon anything in token of it being genuine or approved. You want to approve something, you put a mark upon it. Indicating that it is now approved by the mark you put upon it. Amen? To certify the validity of. That this is a genuine, this is a genuine article. This is not no bogus. This is not no cheap impersonation. This is a genuine article because it carries the seal. To seal also means to confirm. To give witness to. To approve. To establish. To distinguish by a mark. Whenever you sign a check or whenever you do anything like that, sign your name to something, endorsing it, giving your approval, giving witnesses, certify it, you are putting your seal to it. You know the Bible says, he that received his witness has set his seal to it that he is true. St. John 3 verse 33. The Bible says, if you accept Christ's testimony, that he come from God, that he's the one the Father gives to give eternal life, then you have set your seal to it that that is true. So I mean you have a seal too. Because by your own confession, it's showing whether you're bearing witness to it, you're approving it, you're confirming it, you're identifying it, you're giving validity to it, or not. And that's your seal right there too. What we want to do is fully understand, as I said, what the seal is, and the purpose the seal is used for. Because if God have one, then we know God has it for a purpose, and we know the purpose he's using it for. And then we know what is indicated by God whenever he uses it. Amen? All right. So God, by the act of sealing, then we want to look at the act of sealing, because God seals his word. Because Daniel, seal up the vision and prophecy. For a point of time. It was in one way, it was already sealed, because Daniel couldn't even understand it before he put it in a book and tied it with some cords or something. Or put a natural seal on it. He couldn't even get. And the Holy Spirit said, no, it's for appointed time. It's sealed up. Seal up the vision prophecy. Seal up those things that those seven thunders utter and write them not. Probably when you have reason to see, God will make it plain. You take the seal off of it.
Sure.
See? God puts a seal on his word many times. So God, by the act of sealing. Now watch. There are two things about the seal of the word and the seal of the people. Because both is the word. One is the written epistle, one is the manifested epistle. One is the word itself, and one is the word herself. And God seals both of them. And no man can tamper with them seals. Once God seals it. No man can open the book. Neither in heaven, nowhere can open that book. It was sealed unto its destination. They had a point in time for the opening and the breaking of it. Which man could break the seal when they sealed by the Holy Spirit? You can't break it. And the Holy Spirit gives the revelation. Softly when he gives the revelation, you know it has been broken. Because the contents is made plain. The whole Bible is dovetailed together. Every scripture in every place. Is it proven that that is the genuine revelation given? In the days of the seventh angel, in his song then, you will see the perfect authenticated word. God will prove the validity of this message by the pillar of fire coming behind to vindicate it, giving a seal that the message is true. Same pillar of fire came to Moses, came to Paul, came back to give validity that this is the interpretation Moses and Paul wrote. Moses wrote the Old Testament, sealed up. Paul wrote the New Testament, sealed up. Malachi 4 came to interpret the Bible and bring the contents out. But he said Balaam was getting information from Balak, but he was getting it from the pillar of fire, the one who wrote the Bible. Amen. So watch. So God, by the act of sealing, is showing his approval and certifying the validity of one thing to another. In other words, the reason that they didn't have the seal of God and they end up in the judgment because they had the mark of the beast. God never proved them to be a valid Christian in all the days they serve God. Until they walk for a season like the 10 spies, come to the borderline, and so we can't take the land. Paul says, coming to the knowledge of the truth. Is that right? And then falling away. After they tasted the Holy Ghost and the good word and all these things. Is that right? Coming serving God, but they never come to the place where he proved that they are valid. Judas showed his colors before Pentecost. He never really get the sign of approval. He's part of the crowd, part of the bunch. You understand that? My. Now, if you are a Christian, you don't want to claim the name of Christian. You want to be warned that God have approved Jesus Christ, a man approved of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Went about doing good wherever he went. Glory. Fulfilling the word. So look. So, by the act of sealing, he is taking special interest in that he's going to declare that this is authentic. Whether it be a document or whether it be a person. Whether it be a thing, a written thing or a person. You can seal his word, his written word, or you can seal the person. And if God put a seal upon a person, that's why he says, touch not my anointed. That don't mean you just feel anointed. Then that he has set his seal to. See? So God, by the act of sealing, was showing his approval and certifying the validity of those people that they ain't just trying to be a Christian. They ain't just joined the church. They ain't going to own a bunch hoping so. He said, I have raised them up. I have put my own. I have ordained them. What did he say about Paul? He is a chosen vessel to bear my name. Appointed to be a teacher to the Gentiles, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, to bring them to inheritance in saints. Is that right? Yeah. When God set the seal to that brother, who are you going to come against that? That one, when they were rejecting Paul, he says, look, he says, the Lord reward them for their works on that day. He said, one, see, for us to get carried back with the influence, he said, I pray. He refreshed me oftentimes when I come through there. But the man didn't know what he was rejecting and being influenced by people against. Because he never looked and seen God's signature. God's endorsement, God's approval. You never see God's selection, God's choosing. God brings that, like he brought it to Samuel. He said, Samuel, I know you're crying over Saul. What's the matter with you at all? He said, dry your tears, man. There's no time for emotion. He said, go and call David. Call Israel, Jesse. I've chosen myself a king. the prophet began to see unfold the sovereignty of God. By looking at a man God selected, a man who wasn't applying for the position. A man who wasn't applying for the vacancy. You understand that? Let me tell you, when God set his seal to you, if you know you have set his seal to you, that's why you don't underestimate what God has done. You don't go to inferiority complex and behave like you know what God has done. You recognize God. Prophet say, he said, look, I stood up there and said, if Dr. Best says that, you know, I don't think he called himself a divine savior, he preaches salvation. Well, I don't think he should call me a divine healer because I preach his healing. You know, he said, right there before I could even speak, he said, how many people was healing the prayer line last night? About 300 stood up. He said, before I could say anything else, he said, he came down and he spoke himself. And the photographer, he came by that time. He said, I heard that. He came down and he spoke for himself. So, in other words, they were seen right away. This is a man trying to promote his own cause. This is a man trying to politic his way into a program and influence people. This is God saying, I met that man, they came, I ordained him, like in the brother dream. He said, I have chosen him and ordained him to be a prophet like Moses' generation. Amen. To call my people of this age. And he have power to speak into existence. Brother, they can argue they want. All man could forsake man and disfellowship. That doesn't mean that as far as they're concerned. They all reject Jesus Christ. That's what it meant. Had no people power there. Amen. You see? So when you look and see what God has done for you, you might be one individual. You may think you are nothing. But if you know, is he came down looking for you? You never even know your name was sealed up inside of here. You come to discover, and he have dealt with you in such a way, he made you surrender yourself and accept that you didn't manufacture that experience. You couldn't conspire with the devil and influence the Holy Ghost to come in. Get the devil to push you in a corner and get the Holy Ghost to come in and make you a Christian. You could have conspired and get the two most powerful forces. Amen. To vindicate your little act. You couldn't do it. So God made you accept. Is that you? Though you can't answer why he love you. What he see in you. Who are you? It has been better than you. You have to accept. He chose me. I didn't choose him. I am what I am by the grace of God. He has set a seal upon you. What else could you do but say thank you Jesus? Because I have given that to you. It's upon that revelation now. It begins to shape your life, direct your influence. You. Now you find a source where you can draw strength to do him this service with gratitude and love and obedience that he called you to do in this hour, regardless who for you or against you. Amen. Because he has shown you his sovereignty in making you his own. Glory. The word in the Hebrew is H-O-T-H-M. I can't pronounce some words, so I just will spell it. And the Greek is S-P-H-R-A-G-I-S. If somebody wanted to know it. And that means a seal or a signet. It always carries a double meaning. A seal or a signet. You see, because the use of a seal was far more common in olden times, in that it wasn't an educated time, and people couldn't write. So everybody had a seal, a mark. And each person had their own private seal, and it was a capital crime to copy it. And that seal signified the name of the person. And then, that seal, the seal itself, was a portable document because a portable instrument, rather, because they would carry it around with them. Businessmen would have a seal, like how you have a rubber stamp and your ink pad, and you walk around with it. So they would carry around the seal. Make them have a signet ring. And that signet ring, the press, like Babylon, when Pharaoh gave Joseph his ring. What did he give his ring for? Because Joseph's name now, he could seal anything in the king's name now. You see? And it's going to be given unto him. Then,
also that was used as stamp documents and articles instead of the signature. And they said the impression made had the same legal validity as an actual signature. Remember in the book of Ezekiel, which we're going to get later on in this series, how it was a man with a writer's ink horn? Because he's going to write something in the forehead. Because the whole vision was symbolic. Just like when John see the same vision in symbol. Because that was the instrument that they would use to put the seal upon something, determine it valid, approving it, certify it. And they said the importance attached to this method is so great that without a seal, no document was considered authentic. Why was it so in Bible? And God took that same thing. Just like he took a shepherd and sheep to preach the mystery of his redemption. Or a fisherman and the fish. Or the light and the darkness to preach the mystery of himself. God also come and take the seal that they used to have to show how he, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the position he places the believer in when he fills them with his Holy Spirit. Because now they could act for him. Now that right puts them in service. That's why God recognizes. To deny them, God denies his own self. And God didn't just want to give us an experience of getting the Holy Spirit. God wants us to understand what that does for us and where it places us. And how God looks at us and recognizes us once he has done that for us. Is that right? Amen. A lot of people rely on, oh, I get an experience. I mean, I have it too. Well, I have that experience. And when they're going to pray for the sick, we ensure God will answer. When they ask for something and some situation there, or they ask on his behalf, we ensure he's going to be with us. Then what happened? We don't understand that when God set his seal to you, he was now putting you in a specific position and relating to you now as the genuine article, making you valid. He was placing you aside different from something that is unsealed. Because a sealed document and an unsealed document have no comparison, you know. One don't worth nothing. It's not even going to be considered or even be paid attention to. But the one that is sealed and carries that impression of that seal upon it. Brother, let me tell you that if it is the seal of this nation, it means everything this nation stands for would have to be behind that. Exactly right. Because all recognized by that seal being attached to that very thing. And here we see in the Bible, God was coming before the destruction could come on the earth, was coming to seal specific ones. But Daniel 12 says, in that day shall Michael the great prince stand up and deliver the names that was in the book. He was going to come and those names was going to seal 144,000, because we find out he was so specific about it that he left out Dan and Ephraim. Showing, he's looking for certain people because there's marks against others who will not be sealed. They may keep going to church. They may keep involved in religious works. They may keep doing nice things. But as far as God is concerned, that is not what he's talking about at all. Because we're going to see that only those who that name is written in their forehead could legally use that name. Go and do this in my name. You have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He don't put that right that name in your forehead and you're going to use that name. You are taking the role of an impersonator. You are going as one, going and you was not even sent. Amen. That's why prayers go for and don't answer. Because why? God is seeing somebody trying to bluff something. And don't realize that there's a legal, lawful way, and there's only certain people given the permission to act upon his behalf and use his name. Because his word is sealed with his name. We may not even get to that, but I'll show you. There's a threefold revelation of his name. The Lord who is, the Lord who was, and the Lord who is to come. And that threefold mission of the name, the name of my God, the name of my God, my new name, is what sealed this Bible. That was that threefold secret in the back part of God, man, of redemption. And when them seven thousand of other voices, when that the time of that great seal, Revelation 10, the great seal, he himself coming down, what for? The baptism of the Holy Ghost to seal up his bride, his elect. With the open book, those who name us in that book. That is why in this hour, all these little things that jump up and sensational, it fades away and falls to naught, because you can't bluff those things. Moses met the pillar of fire. Paul met the pillar of fire. They met the pillar of fire. They became written epistles read of all men. Their lives was manifested what was written in the Bible for that day. Remember, Abraham met that pillar of fire. He proved he was the word himself, taking the word itself. He was the sealed word on the outside, taking that sealed word and could show what that revelation for the age was to give life. Because outside that revelation, you can't give life. You understand that? A Baptist message can't give nobody life in this hour. Can't put nobody in the rapture. Then how are you going to get it when the only the Spirit of truth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, could lead you into it, because it's sealed up inside of the air. Because door and seals are open. It's only open to them who name us in the book. No denomination. Don't believe that book is open. Because you can't see it. The book is still closed. Because it has to be revealed to you. The book is open. It has to be revealed to you. Revelation 10 is fulfilled. It had to be revealed to you. The Lord himself descended. It had to be revealed to you that William Branham, that man there, that was God speaking through that man, giving the further revelation of these seven thunders. Amen. That sealed up this book. Sure. Because we see it so close that even people in the message come all the way up. Is that right? People in the message come all the way up. Believe the prophet, believe the message, all them things. And then they believe the seven seal open. And then the believe seven times revealed. So you live a plain nomination. Who can see a prophet here itself? I know people who believe all these things, baptized, who believe seven, see everything. And come all the way up and can't see Revelation 8:11 is from 1965 to 1990 going on. Sure. See. We talk about being sealed. When the apostles were sealed, they wrote a book of Acts. Them men went forth and manifested the word. Them men were to live in the word. The word in action and then the word in demonstration. Sure. And in this age, there's a lot of demonstration because he poured his spirit on all flesh. Though all flesh is not saved. And many say, Lord, Lord, deny this and deny do that. They have demonstration, but the action. Where that man who have power over his 16 elements. Where that man could bridle that tongue? Where that man who will lay down wash them feet in the water and lay down? Where that man who will lay down his own thoughts and lay down his head and his inwards? Amen. Be consumed and be brought to ashes. That is where we see God in action. That's where we see the same literal life of the Holy Spirit coming back again. He said, then you see people with power. He said, you want to see power? Watch a man who can hold his flesh in subjection, then you know a man of power. Glory. Not Balaam, a man of power to see vision and then try to run the curse God people. Is that right? Sure. No, sir. So what? So God doesn't consider a person to be a genuine Christian if they are not certified. If they are not sealed with the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. He don't consider them to be a genuine Christian. That's why Brother Bram said, you can make a claim, my claim has been vindicated. Because he seals them as a guarantee of the authenticity. That's why he seals them. It guarantees them. They can point to that seal. That's it. You can present your token with the prayer. Amen. You're not bluffing that. You're not trying to impose that. You're not trying to make a false claim on that. God, you met me. That's why the prophet says, Lord, you met me in the cave. Yeah. He said, upon the basis of the revelation of that angel meeting me in the cave and by a divine commission, ministered me by that angel out of that pillar of fire, send me with this gift to do this. And I rebuke you. Come out of the man, Satan. Amen. Why? In other words, he said, God, does your seal work? Or does your seal mean what the Bible says your seal mean? Amen. Let me find it right now. I don't want to be sealed by something that don't work. Amen. Amen. If you have unbelief sealing you up in the world, can't come in, you're in trouble. Amen. Get the word to come in to seal the unbelief out. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at some examples in the Old Testament, because there's a lot of examples in the Old Testament where the seal in the name was. My. I'm going to try to close with this. It's no use. I don't want to bring it to a place where it tires some for you and then you stop getting because your mind is more tired, but I know we know we should open up a little bit. Let's turn to 1 Kings 21. So I want to take it like a study with you. I said, bring it in a fundamental way that you could really see what we're talking about. 1 Kings 21. No one over the prophet, the elected, call out, anointed church, sealed. Oh my. Praise his wonderful name. 1 Kings 21, there I said, verse 8. And okay, we're going to read that. And verse 8. This is Jezebel now, when she and Ahab had a plot to get Naboth's vineyard. So it says, verse 8. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles who were in his city dwelling with Naboth. Those people will not recognize anything as coming from the royal house, as from the king's office, except it had the king's seal and the king's name on it. Because what was asking them to do was to go and take drastic action against a man. And they wasn't going to be influenced to do anything and go and carry out that kind of instruction unless they know definitely. But that was putting the very life and the reputation and the family and everything on the line when they're going to carry out them instructions. And she, in order to show the validity of the thing, she wrote it in the king's name and sealed it with the king's seal. Then turn in the book of Esther, chapter 3. Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job was my you who may need help. Esther, chapter 3. Because God's word starts in Genesis and comes out with the revelation. And it gradually unfolds, it unfolds in mystery of itself until it's all gathered up in the end of the book. So when we think about something in the end of the book, we must see what it is saying because of what it means as it unfolds down through. It's not for us to put our thoughts to it and say, I think it means that, I think it means that. All through the Bible, God is unfolding the mystery of what a seal is, what it signifies, what it's used for, what it does. In the act of sealing something, how official and legal it makes it, that cannot be questioned no more. What did the angel told the prophet, if you get the people to believe you? You know what Jesus said? If they receive you. You know why? When he sealed them and sent them, now he tell them to go and put them to get the Holy Ghost. But when he sent them to reject them was to reject him. Exactly. Because when the Spirit came, they could only speak that word. Watch. First Esther 3, verse 12. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day. This is when they were sent out the document to fight against the Jews and kill them out in these things. And they were putting it in writing and making it a law in the land. And the 13th of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's deputies and to the governors who were over every province, and to the princes of every people of every province according to its writing, and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. In Esther 1 it says he ruled a province had the territory that was 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. They put the document in every language of the then known world, because the Medes and Persians were the world power after Babylon. They was ruling the entire world. Every other power was subject to them. And when he was saying this royal decree, it was just a piece of paper, sure. But every man had to obey it because of what was on the paper. It was sealed with the king's ring and it was written the king's name. That made it lawful. Every man pick up arms to come against them Jews when that time came. Because of the endorsement. In other words, the land as raw, who can but speak, prophesy. The king had a seal. And when the king's seal was put upon any document, the highest authority in the land had authorized that. Esther chapter 8. Another place, you know. I just want to show you what the seal was, the purpose it was used for, and the act of sealing. What is indicated by the use of that seal when it's used upon something. Esther 8 verse 8. Okay, let's read verse 7. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write you also concerning the Jews as it pleaseth you in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, to the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. You begin to see what that seal was? You see the validity of anything that is sealed with that seal? No man could tamper with that from that day on. No man could reverse that or alter it or add to it or take away from it or change it. He said, I given you the authority, Esther. You write this in the king's name. See, I recognize you to be the queen. And I recognize you to be bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Whatever you say in mind when you set my seal to it, it's going to be authorized, endorsed, fully approved by me. Because of the king's name and the king's seal. Now, if she go and put her other name on it, or her next seal, and thinking as the king and king's seal, that have no power, you know. Remember the power say, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, I command the devils to come down. In the name of the three high powers, in the name of so and so, in the name of the rose of Sharon. Remember the time with the demons these people with the psychic powers live up all the chairs and tables and different things. And when he said in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole thing crash and break to pieces. Exactly right. Because he showed when it's sealed with that name, when he said little fishy in the name of Jesus Christ, you live again. When he said storm, you go back where you come from in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, Sister Hattie, I give you your voice in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, before that doctor touch my wife, let that tumor go. And you know what he said? Read on the token Shreveport after he preached testimony. He said that was the token. That was the voice of the blood. That was the seal that he was sealed with. See what we're going to come into. Amen. Oh my. You see, that's taking it in a very fundamental way this morning. Daniel 6. Daniel
God, does the Holy Spirit mean that to me in my life? Then if you recognize me like that, if I am your seal, manifested epistle, I am your legal document, living book, standing here. Amen. Glory. Daniel 6:17. Let's take from verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or no statute which the king established, may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought, and he laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that their purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Once it was sealed, nothing can change it. No man can change it. Can't be altered. They had the law set up like that. See? Nehemiah 9. Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah just before Esther. Nehemiah 9. We're going to close out with this here. Just try to bring it to a climax and close it. Nehemiah 9. Verse 38. Let's read from about verse 36. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat its fruit, and it good, behold, we are servants in it, and it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle as their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a short covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests set their seal to it. Now these who had set their seal were Nehemiah, and then give all the names of the others who set the seal to it. All the princes and the Levites and the priests set their seal to it. Because when they were making a covenant, they had a seal to seal the covenant, and the covenant would be binding. It would be honored. It would be recognized. There would be no breach of covenant. Amen? Glory. When that angel come down that great seal and swear, amen, by greater than, by, there is no one greater he could swear by, so he swear by his own self. You just think about it. So watch, one more, let's take one more. Haggai. Haggai 2. Haggai is after Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai. Haggai 2. As we think on these things, if you don't feel it, say, Lord, I've been living, but I never realized it. I realize now that I really need that kind of seal. I need that kind of assurance. I need something that I'm going to know how you see me. Because no man could seal me. It takes you to seal me. And when you seal me, so then you recognize me that way. And if you recognize me that way, If by the act of sealing, by the act of the Holy Spirit, writing that revelation on my forehead, Haggai 2, verse 23, the word of the Lord that came unto Haggai here. It says, In that day, said the Lord of hosts, Will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet or a seal. For I have chosen thee, said the Lord of hosts.
in that day, Zerubbabel. Not the natural Zerubbabel who was there building the temple. Because Jesus Christ, the Messiah line came through Zerubbabel. And Jesus Christ, he is God's signet. He is God's symbol of royal authority. In that day, I will make him my signet. King of kings and Lord of lords in that day when he comes. Amen. Zerubbabel represents that great high priest. Is that right? Sure. When they're building that temple. And how the glory of the latter is greater than the glory of the former. And God was saying in a prophetic way through Haggai, he says, in that day, I will take thee and make thee my seal, my royal symbol. Oh, let me tell you, if you are not sealed with him, you are not sealed. If you are not sealed with that royal symbol, with his royal authority, because only when you are sealed with him do you have that royal authority. Now what's something now? Now what does all these things mean? All these symbols of a seal and a seal being used in the Old Testament, that when God comes in the New Testament, he speaks of having a seal. God didn't speak of having a seal in the Old Testament, you know. It's in the New Testament. God come now and speak of his seal. Because he showed in the Old Testament what a seal was. And what it was used for. And then he said, the same way them kings had a seal in the Old Testament, so God had a seal too. And what they used the seal for, he used the seal for the same thing. Amen. And the same way by an act of sealing, what they designated a document to be is what he designates his church to be when he seals them by that seal. And look at God now showing his seal in the Bible. Ephesians 1. We're closing out. I'm just trying to finish out these scriptures here and bring it to a close. So we're not thinking of just sensation and experience when we talk about being sealed now. We are thinking of being confirmed and approved of God to be the genuine article. When God say, talk about Christians, when God talk about the bride, when God talk about the church of the living God, when God talk about the representatives, God had something in his mind. And that he approves it, that is what I'm talking about. That are the ones entrusted with this authority to give life. They stand between the living and the dead. They can impart life because I've given to them that very life that they could make others live. But the words I speak is spirit and life. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost found them and sealed them that believe. Is that right? But where was he getting them words from? See? Look. Ephesians 1. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Notice that. After you heard the word of truth, you've been hearing it all these years, many of you inside of here have been hearing it for years and years and years. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you come and you hear it and you believe it. Like Abraham, it called you out, get out of your country, out of your kindred. Is that right? You begin to follow it. Not when you believe. That's why people don't go nowhere. After you believe. After God recognize your faith. And give you the seal of the righteousness of your faith. I give Abraham circumcision. He give you the Holy Ghost. To circumcise your heart. And heirs. You can believe and hear by hearing. Faith come by hearing. He said your heirs and your heart you believe in. See, after you believe, you were sealed with what?
that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So, Paul is making it plain here now that that seal that God approves and makes valid anything is by His Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 30. I know you know all these scriptures, but I'm taking the pains to go through it because of there's many here who need to know it. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed. So God has a seal. But we are finding out what that seal is. I said, so when that Holy Spirit comes, as it has come in these last days, when that Holy Spirit brought the revelation from under those seals that were sealed up in the book and ministered it to the bride, that He might seal the bride with the word that was sealed in the book. Amen?
Sure.
That the two might become one. The two might become one. The bride and the word would become one. So He says, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your... And one more scripture. 2 Corinthians 1. So I'm putting it out to you on the tapes too, so that you get a chance to sit back with your family and go over slowly and study it with them. And you be the pastor in your home. Because, let me tell you, your home must have the seal. And you must have the seal. And this seal is promised your children too. In some places, if the children have it, and the parents don't even have it yet. In some places, sure. Verse 21. Now He who establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Establish us or seal us. To establish something is to seal it. Set a seal to it. Confirm it. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Let me take one more. As we look a little deeper into the act of sealing, there's a beautiful picture that presents itself to us in Songs of Solomon. Song of Solomon. And I'll take that for the last and close with that scripture. Song of Solomon. Chapter 8. Oh, the bride wanted to her to be like a seal upon the bridegroom. I know we desire to not only we be a seal upon, but He be a seal upon us. Amen. And may He put His seal upon us. Verse 6. Here she is making this burning intense desire known to the bridegroom. Oh my, there's so many different things as we close. Let the musicians get ready. So many things. But could you realize this morning that while we're here in His presence, talking of Him, reading His word, looking closely at the revelation of the work, what He does, how He does it, what He signifies by that work when it's done, where it places us. If we have received that experience and the understanding of what it meant, how it will make us live and walk in this hour. And if we lack that and lack that assurance, and we have not received that divine approval of Him in our lives by a divine act, that we can't pull out of God, but He sovereignly does to bring us unto Himself. They had to wait until the Holy Ghost come. They couldn't go to pull the Holy Ghost out of heaven. The Holy Ghost was not going to come until the 50th day, because 50 was Jubilee. That was the release. That was the feast of the Pentecost, which signify when the bread had to be burnt, showing the baptism of fire, when the bread was made with leaven up there in the room. That was an appointed time of its coming to bring the inauguration of the church. So nothing they could bring down. But God is bringing it in the appointed time of the Father. It was coming as it was promised, not many days from now. But they had to be constantly in expectation waiting for it. They were desiring it because they saw the Holy Ghost in Jesus, how it made him live. They know there was a man like him. They sleep like him. They was hungry like him. They were tired like him, wasn't it? They eat with him. They cover with the same cover. They sleep in the same boat. They walk the same road. Exactly. But then when they saw that Holy Ghost operation, and they said, what man of man is this? They knew you was a different man to them. They said, we know the Father hear you always. Whatever you ask the Father, He give it to you now. Martha and Mary said, is that right? But we are sure if we ask you, answer our way. But we know you. And He said, Father, I know you hear me always, because I does those that please you always. Is that right? Sure. Because he was a man approved of God. Sealed with that baptism of fire. And he went forth, and not just in action, but in demonstration, was the manifested epistle. It was sealed from them. But to his disciples, they caught the revelation of who that was there amongst them. He said, show us the Father, it will satisfy us. He said, so long as I be with you, you don't know me. When you see me, you see the Father. Peter said, Lord, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. When he said, hand me, I'm not a spirit of flesh and bone. They begin to realize that was the Word incarnate. Late in the evening time, the one they drink with and walk with and eat with and sit with and sleep with in the woods was Messiah. Is that right? Yes. When he broke the bread, the eyes came open. All right. Now, the same way, in this hour, here, God in you as His bride. Because it is just God condescending, God who's above us, come with us, and now God still coming down lower than that. God in us. Same God coming down lower all the time. Not another God, not another person. It's the same person. One person all the time. What condescension. Amen. And here in Song of Solomon, look at the cry in the heart of the bride. Cry out to the bridegroom, making that desire known. She was requesting from her Lord, set me as a seal upon thy heart and a seal upon thine arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as hell. Its coals are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Here she's crowned, set me as a seal upon thine heart, and a seal as upon thine arm. The heart is what? The heart is the seat of love. And the arm is where strength and power lieth. And she's saying, let me, because the seal denotes the instrument and also the impression made by the instrument. In other words, when you have a document with a seal upon it, that is not the instrument. That is the impression of the instrument engraved upon the thing. Is that right? Because the seal is what seals. And she's asked that her image, her impression, be made so indelibly upon his heart and upon his arm. In other words, she's requesting that the sealer give her a permanent place in his heart. Not that I'm going to depend upon my love for you. My strength don't lie in my love for God. Let me tell you, if you think your strength lies in your love for God, you're lost already. As many as I love, not love me. Amen. Men is I love. My love for him. That don't mean nothing much. Except it's really a real revelation that he first loved me. Amen. Then I'm going to bring obedience. Then I'm going to bring submission. Then I'm going to bring I love the Lord, but I can't obey him. I can't sacrifice him. I can't submit him. No. Like something else. Can you love God too? And you worship. The love is just love in a sense of spirit, affections. Now watch. So she was requesting that he take her. Say, let me be a seal upon your heart. In other words, that you care about me as a seal. That my impression upon your heart. Now that's what we want of him too. And his power could be so impressed upon us that we could be sealed with that revelation of his arm and his heart. His love and his power. We could be so conscious because all our hope, all our existence, all the hope for we continuing on is going to rest upon his love and his power. If you don't give us the love and the power, if you don't give us the strength to go on, to make another mile, we cannot do it! Because nothing that works, it's not running, it's not by might or power, it's not what we can do, but it's what he has already done for us! Oh, she desired that be so great, engraved upon her. You know, Brother Bram tells the story about the branding of the cattle. He says, like when the man, he used to work on this ranch and they brand the cattle. We used to sit in the old days too. When we used to live up in the estate, they used to have these animals and these horses and them they used to do it too. And there are brand from the estate that they used to put on them. And you know, in them old western places you see it, that we call a branding iron. And that branding iron, it had the initial, the Triple J Ranch, or Triple X Ranch, or the RJW, or whatever it is. They put a mark on it. And they heat that iron until it gets fiery red hot. And then they take those cattle that have been bought with a price. The man purchased them. It is the purchase possession. See? He is the owner. And he takes it and he is going to put his mark upon it. He's going to burn his name into it. He said when they heat that brand iron red hot so fiery and they burn it, I remember they lasso them mules in them and they tap the foot. And they tap the front foot to the back foot together and lay down there and then they tap by the mouth too and one hold them by the mouth. So the animal is all under the control and they pull that red hot branding iron. And when they burn into that burning right into the flesh and that thing is like kick up and ball and run. And then after, you know, when they let it go, you say, after it may have a lot of jumping spells and bawling and squalling, it know who it belonged to afterwards. Everybody else know who it belonged to afterwards. Because it carrying the brand, it carrying the mark, it carrying the seal, it been burned into it to show that it is the purchased possession. It is owned by somebody who paid a price for it. Does that say something to you? Oh my. How many would like him to do that to them this morning? It might make you bawl and run and squall, but it could burn that baptism of fire right into your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. But his love and his power, his heart and his arm, his seal could be so engraved upon you. Amen. That you can have something to take you on. Amen. Not just until tomorrow, but all the way back to eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, I'm stepping about halfway. But we're going to get more next week on the sealing of the word and the sealing of the bride. How them two things were sealed. How that sealed the vision of the prophecy and it could not be opened until a certain time. And the same way, his bride, who is being sealed up, she's a mystery in the earth. They don't know her. But one day, she'll be made known to everybody. Amen. She'll be made known to everybody. He takes that word that was sealed and put it into them. Amen. And that's what he wants to do with you. He seals you by his word. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Hover, homie, Holy Spirit. Fill me now. Fill me now.
Just play softly. And the message, what is the Holy Ghost? Prophet said, that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's a seal of God that He found you. You have found grace in His sight. That's what it is. That's what it is. You never have to fear no more. You have found grace in His sight. It's a seal of God. He loves you. He believes you. And He put a seal upon you. What is a seal? When a man going to get married to a wife and they take the vows, he takes that ring and they put it upon her finger. What? He seals that covenant. It's a seal of promise. Is that right? Oh, it binds until death do us part. He said, that's what it is. He have found you. He loves you. You have found grace in His sight. A seal designates a means of finished work. He has saved you. Next week we're going to see under those seven seals, something was finished. Something that God had shed His blood and owned. And something that was sealed until the day of redemption. It was eternally secure. And He began to reveal to those people, they are eternally secure. You don't have to fear nothing, children. You don't have to dread. You're not afraid you're up in hell. Because not the day I'm choosing you. It's not the day I'm trying to make you this. It's not because of your mistakes and your failures here that mean I might change my mind or I might get influenced differently. No. Not at all. You are His product. A seal is a finished thing. The Holy Ghost is a seal. It's a sign that God gave to His chosen children. To reject it is to be cut off from among the people. When we begin to get Mark of the Beast, you will understand fully well what people reject. And realize that God is not unjust in His punishment. Because to reject the Holy Ghost, to reject the seal of God, is to receive the Mark of the Beast. The punishment comes later. But the very thing that could secure you from destruction, He said, touch them not, who is sealing their forehead with this seal. Them angels listen to our conversation. They gather here. They listen to what we preach. They see the spirit, the people, the spirit that they feed on, things that they live by. They know. If He has set His seal to us, they know they need to protect us and watch over God. Whenever they see us with His mark. They see that they need to attend to us. When we call for their assistance, then they come and go to see that mark upon us. If we have eyes to see it in one another, when Paul went up to Jerusalem, he knew them was believers. When he met Peter, he knew Peter is a believer. He said, I wasn't with you when you get baptized, Peter. I wasn't when you accept this thing. But I know I met in the back there. And when I listen to you, I know we meet the same thing. Amen. If they had eyes to see in one another that each other bear the mark, and we could see and tell today, those who have that mark, how much more His angels that encamp round about us know that we are the children of the Most High. Think on these things as we close the service. He set His seal to prove who is true. 5 billion people on the planet today. Over 1,000 denominations. So many people claim to be the bride and the elect. But He has set His seal to them that is true. He has showed those who are valid. He has separated those who are truly invested
with the power of that name? How could you have the power that go with that name if you haven't received the revelation of that name? How could you have the revelation of that name if part of that name is not given to you by predestination? Oh, it's all a family affair, children. It's a whole family affair. And the prophet talked about the seal. He said, that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's your assurance. It's your protection. It's your witness. It's your seal. It's your sign that I'm heaven bound. Don't care what the devil says. I'm heaven bound. Why? He sealed me. He gave it to me. He sealed me in this kingdom and I'm glory bound. Let the winds blow. Let Satan do what he wants to. God done sealed me till the day of redemption. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Oh, you should want it. I couldn't go on without it. So much could be said there, but I'm sure you know what I'm speaking of. Oh my, I'm going to stop right there. If he didn't mark them homes back there in Egypt, let me tell you, the death was going to strike every one of them. If he didn't mark them in Ezekiel 9, death was going to strike every one of them. If he didn't mark them in Revelation 7, death was going to strike every one of them. He is watching over those who he has preserved for this hour, who he has come down, called out, and has kept in the way, bringing them right up to this great experience that sets them aside, that they know that when they go for a party, not I that live, but it's Christ who liveth in me. He was marked. He said, the gospel I preached that after man, it was written in his forehead. It was burning the air. It didn't come by learning, but by revelation of the Holy Ghost. It was written in his forehead. That's what he wants to do for you. Then you're going to find, it makes all the difference to be that kind of Christian. You're going to find that a Christian like that has power. They're not looking for power, they has power. You're going to find that these things never really left the church and was always here in every age. But just man needed to know how to tap into it. It's always here because the Holy Ghost is as great as he ever was. Everything was finished here in Calvary. And now God, the Spirit was sent back as a witness that he rose and that these things are true. Friends, that's why so many people can't move into the healing. That's why many don't move into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why the whole conceptions, and they don't know exactly how to appropriate these things. But I want you to see, God, he wrote that document. He made that document what it was, and then he affixed his seal to it. And he makes that document what it is, and the kind that merits his seal and his endorsement, his approval upon it, to make it valid, to guarantee its authenticity. And he knows that as a Christian, to stand against the forces of darkness, to stand against the gates of hell, you can't stand there in your own name. In my name, you will cast out devils. Not in your name, in my name. And it doesn't mean saying Jesus. No. It's his word being revealed in you. There's no prevailing power. And that revelation, that's why it is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The revelation of the word in your age. That's why the word interpreted is a manifestation of that name. See, all of us, if you have time to bring it to this spot to show you how he writes that name in your forehead. But there's two books, that written book and that living book. Both is sealed to the world, but they are open to the bride. We know them that are sealed because they speak the same word. They have the same doctrine. They live the same life. They have the same hope inside of them. And make them act the same way, behave the same way. How do we know the apostle is correct? How do we know we are true? Because we can look at the apostles. We can look at one another. How can no one is true? That's why it was given unto us. And here, he wants to do that for every one of us. His red hot fiery branding iron
or it might make you behave different. It might bring you to such a place and you never dreamed that you'd have gone through something like that. But the result is, people know who you belong to afterwards, and you know who you belong to afterwards. You are marked and separated. Holy Spirit, over me, Holy Spirit, obey my trembling heart and brow. Bleed heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Me with thy hallowed prayer. Oh, get in the spirit now, amen. Just worship him. I trust the preaching of the word that made you hungry for this experience. Because that sealing angel is here amongst us, the Holy Ghost himself. Hovering all round about us, the pillar of fire. Fill me now. I don't just want to be a Christian, I want to be a genuine Christian. One that God confirms and approves. One that God has established and given witness to. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Come, oh come and fill me now. I am weakness full of weakness. Oh, confess it. Don't try to be strong. Confess we are weak. His strength is made perfect in weakness. At thy sacred feet, I bow. Oh, in humility. Feet, I bow. Oh, bless divine eternal spirit. Oh, every hand lifted up, singing, fill me now, fill me now. Blessed Jesus. Oh God, with open hearts, empty vessels, Lord. This is our prayer. This is our desire, Lord. Won't you pour yourself out? Won't you set the seal upon us, Lord? Oh, wonderful Savior. This is thy word, thy word is true. Put your mark upon them that belong to you, them that are bought with your price, with your shed blood. Oh, let your branded iron, Lord, burn into us your name. Oh, cleanse and comfort, bless and save me. And come. God bless and see obey my heart and brow. Yes, Lord. Heart and brow. Thou art comforting and saving. Thou art comforting. Thank you. Thou art sweetly filling now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Oh, sweetly fill it now, Lord. Fill us till the cup run over. Oh, God. We draw nigh unto you, Lord. Jesus, come and fill me now. Oh, fill me with thy hallowed presence, the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Oh, one more time, fill me now. Mean it. Oh, I'm willing to empty out. I'm laying aside of your word, Lord. Oh, I believe in your word. Set a seal to my faith, Lord. Like it did to Abraham. Give me that sign of circumcision in my heart and my ears, Lord. Oh, God, write your name, Lord, in my forehead. Make me wholly thine. Set your mark upon me, Lord. Let me live by your love and power. Engrave upon me thy heart and thine arm. Oh, God, the hope of my continuance, Lord. Oh, just praise him. Just lift your hands and praise him and thank him. He wants to do that for your children. That's his word. That's what he has done in every age to his elected bride. That's what the Holy Ghost comes for. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He is seeking out his own. He is dealing with our hearts. Speaking his word to get our attention. Oh my. Don't ignore him. Open your heart to him. Draw nigh unto him. Recognize his presence. Chant, I saw an angel with a seal of God. Can you see that angel? He's moving to the churches. Sealing them that sigh and cry for the abominations in the city. Oh, he's looking for them. He's moving out from every city, every church. Looking for those elected ones. He's determined to preserve them from destruction. Oh, that no harm will come nigh unto them. Because they belong to him. He shed his blood for them. Now his Holy Ghost has come to claim them. Now he's burning his name into them. Oh my. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, wake us up. Let us recognize another sermon, Lord. Is an experience. Is an identification. Is a revelation of the Holy Ghost being present in the midst of the people, going to the camp, going to the city, Lord, seeking them, Lord, who sighed and cried, who have travail of soul, who is hungered and thirsted after righteousness. I pray, dear God, that them, oh God, who cry out for something real, oh God, don't want to be stumbling around, just a formal, nominal, fundamental Christian, but they want to be a Christian with apostolic faith, a Christian with the Holy Ghost power, power to pray, power to read, power to testify, power to raise up the sick. That's your church, Father, who've been sealed and anointed by the Holy Ghost in this hour. I pray, oh God, man and woman here today would desire that. Man and woman would search their lives. Lord, take the experience and pass it back to the world and see if the experience has been that kind of experience. See if the understanding
of the experience, Lord, by the revelation of the word coming to them from the Holy Spirit has brought them, Lord, to stand in this state, to live in this fear, to walk in this faith. I pray, oh God, Lord, today they will look and see. You approve your children, Lord. You anoint them and send them out. Make them a flame of fire. Oh God, men and women, Lord, who was eyewitnesses of your majesty, wrote the book of Acts. Hallelujah. That the church of the living God, again in this hour, another branch, Lord, coming from the root, will bear the same kind of fruit for the same life inside of them. Oh my God, I pray that that would become such a reality, Lord, in every heart, knowing it must be here in this hour. That's a prayer that will go forth and with a ministry of testimony in this hour. Oh God, the wine of this great commission in these last days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was the kind that started it, Lord. That is the same kind that will finish it. For Alpha has become Omega. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, my. I trust that the preaching of the word have caused you to consider deeply, not to sit in the humanistic realm and hear, but cause you to be moved within and say, Lord, if that is me, then I cannot. That kind of people don't live defeated. That kind of people don't be wondering if you're with them or if you're not with them. Those kind of people know where they stand. They know how you see them. Those kind of people can act as your representative because they've been called out and trained and set aside and approved for that very purpose. Let me tell you. Maybe I can't preach it too good. Maybe I can't say it in a way to maybe move you to desire that. Maybe to make you recognize what is Revelation 10. What is the coming of the Lord? What is the presence of the Lord amongst us? It is none other but He Himself have come to set a seal on His own that they will not be in the tribulation, they will go in the rapture. How could they go if you don't put a seal upon them and mark them? Because they must be marked so they will not go to the judgment. Oh my. Listen to this. 10 virgins paid for 71 and 72. Now the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. All know that, don't you? Alright, we all know that. That's the seal of God. That's why I tell you, I take it in the way I'm taking it. I know everybody here knows the seal of God, the Holy Ghost. I ain't trying to tell you that again and prove that to you. I'm trying to tell you, what is a seal? What is it used for? The act of sealing by the sealer. Whose seal signifies that you become authentic. Authorized to act on His behalf. Approved of God. I'm saying, not just saying, I think I make it because I have eternal life. No. The seal of God is the Holy Spirit. All know that, don't you? Alright, we all know that. The seal of God is the Holy Spirit. Now that, he said, you take Revelation 9:1-4. You'll find that. They had the seal in their forehead. 1 Corinthians 1:22. Paul said, whereby He sealed us by His Holy Spirit until the day. Ephesians 4:30, giving us the Holy Spirit. That's that angel that comforts sealing upon their forehead. Now that doesn't mean He takes and puts a spot up here. Your forehead is your revelation, see? And your hand is the thing you do about it. It's a spiritual mark. He don't take a big stamp and stamp you like that. Oh no. But He marked. He sealed. See? Now, how was the first seal? What did it look like? Here's the prophet. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. Their works was the works of Christ. In other words, they saw the Son of Man. He said, the works I do shall you do also. They saw the corporal body taken away. The life that was in Him who was preaching the revelation come back in them.
The people who saw the Son of Man doing the works, they saw them doing the same works the Son of Man was doing. In other words, they saw Brother Branham. They saw the Son of Man being revealed. They saw the works. He said, the branch come out of the root will do the same thing. That body was taken away. That life that was in him supposed to be in us. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. We're supposed to be seeing the same thing that was in him back inside of us. Is that right? Then how come we wouldn't desire that? We say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Half a minute, and you're ready to go home. Is that it? Is that what we preach for? Is that what we try to convince you of? I'm talking about one who is here. One who could bring you in that condition. I'm not talking about whether you know the seal of God mean Holy Spirit. I'm talking about that. I know you know that. I taught you that for you. The prophet does, the Bible teaches us that. We don't talk about that. I said, do you know you're valid? That you are the manifested epistle of this written epistle that was sealed in the book, sealed on the outside now? And the same way the sealed word vindicated by the pillar of fire vindicates the same bride that is sealed by the same spirit? And the bride and the word show she's one? United? Because united in time, your first union, you unite with the word. Then you unite with one another. Who is united with the same word? Listen. How was the first seal? What did it look like? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. Their works is the work of Christ. They laid hands on the sick, they recovered. They did all kinds of signs and miracles and wonders. And in their forehead was sealed by the revelation that he was the Son of God. They were working with him. The deity of Christ, that's the mark. Second seal, page 30. God mark his by vindicating his promised word through them. That is exactly John 14:12. And another thing, if you want to put it down, Mark 16, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. God marked them by vindicating his promised word through them. In other words, when he wrote that name in their forehead, then in mind they could cast out devils, because it's written in their forehead. In my name, they shall raise the dead and drink deadly and harm them. Why? Because it's written for us. They go to every nation, teach them. That's why you have 30 years of record in the book of Acts. Paul, Philip, Peter, different ones. Apollos, Zenas, different ones. Not one ever baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Many of them never met one another. And when they come together after years, they preach the same thing. Why? They were sealed with the same seal. In them local churches, the Holy Spirit was dwelling among them. Why? Because they were sealed with that seal. Angelic visitations, the dead was raised, visions, translations, all this. It wasn't strange. The little girl says, it's Peter Theophany, Peter angel by the door. They understood them things. Who is this Melchizedek? Paul said, I could tell you about Melchizedek and all these things. In the book of Hebrews, teaching them. They know those things that Jesus, the Word made flesh. They understood that. My. And if we are restored back, called out and separated in this hour, then he could give us the same kind of experience, bring the same revelation of the experience. And we could stand there, and he knows that in us, no devil could prevail against us. He sets us out with his word standing there, saying, in my name you will possess every gate of the enemy. Because what I have revealed to you, what I have marked you with, not even death could harm you. If you die, you're going to raise you back up. The revelation that I give you will put you in the grave, it will bring you back out of the grave. You don't worry about going to the grave. Prophecy says, I ain't worrying about that. It's really going to come out of the grave. All men are appointed to die. But whether what you believe is going to take you back out. And they seal their testimony, the testimony of Jesus, with their blood. And this bride will have a ministry of testimony. That's why that new ministry is a ministry of testimony. God confirming his word through his elect. Oh my. I always sing that song. Fill me now Now, Lord, now.
Paul didn't tell them go and tarry or go in a room and wait for the Holy Ghost. Peter didn't tell that. After Pentecost, they had to go in a room and wait for nothing. May God help us to preach it in a way that you will desire it. If you don't have it, and if you have it, become fully established and know what you have. But many times if you have something and you don't know what you have, you can be bluffed out of many things and fail to use what you have because you don't know you have it. The time is here and the conditions coming on now is for real Christianity. Not the kind. God is testing us. Let me tell you, God have us in our homes so we can't come out. God ordained a time like that for us. You know what we should be seeing? We should be seeing among our own selves. Is it working for us? Does it work? Could it keep us? Or am I getting tempted to go back in the world now and I get our fights and I get our fights? I can't come to church regular. We got each other to leave us regular. Is it working? Is it really true? As the word say? Does it really do these things? Is it in spite of more adversity and harder conditions we have to make greater sacrifices and we are not perturbed? Does our revelation give us that power? Does our revelation have that power to endure us with? That we can rise above these things and march on to greater achievements. I believe we can. I believe it gives it to us. I believe the very God whose presence is with us is here to make that real in every heart. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Gracious Father, we thank you for your presence and the anointing of your Spirit. As we begin this little series on the seal of God and desiring that it would not be just in a dry formal teaching, just a volume of information, but it will bring men and women to recognize their position in the Word, to cry out with a greater desperation to hunger and thirst for that reality that has been vindicated and proven to be here and is available for us, that we can have it, that we can live by it, that we can have more of it, to whatever supply until we are filled with every fiber of our being. I pray, dear God, that the word have been ministered, the Spirit of God will take the word and be such a refreshing to the hearts of the people, the very scriptures that they may know and might be acquainted with, would become a fresh inspiration to them, would take on greater meaning, and would give them deeper insight, Lord, to receive greater faith, have a clearer understanding. They might stand true soldiers in this hour, carrying about your word in the portion and the capacity that we are each responsible for. I pray a special blessing upon the workers of this assembly, Lord. All the helps, the governments, the trustees, the deacons, the librarians, those that help in the prayer meetings, those, Lord, that do personal work, those that pray, give, and support the work here with all their hearts, with all their substance, may you bless them for it, Father. Let them know of a greater surety in their hearts that this is your word and this is your work. Your people gather here, Lord, and you are in our very midst. Heavenly Father, as the days go darker, the hill becomes steeper, we don't want to murmur and complain. We want to use the opportunity to exercise
the faith that's locked up inside of us. We know perfect strength come by perfect weakness. When we are weak, you are made strong inside of us. We don't want to behave as one that is untutored and complain and try to evade and hope that the experiences that you ordain be removed. But we want to conduct ourselves with joy amidst the trials that you and your wisdom allow to come to pass. You've given us a greater insight into your great elective love, which is not parental care. But Lord, which have shown us that it's not our love for you, but it's your love for us that gives us strength. Our little ones growing up in the benches, I pray, dear God, the Spirit of God and the word spoken into them would so remain with them, linger around them, begin to sanctify them, teach them how to possess the vessel in sanctification and honor, that they can be perfected in the fear of holiness, they're being born again by the very incorruptible seed of your word. We know without that seal, Father, there is no hopes of us making a team, or we will not be packing the identification within us. And we cannot take one another in on our own merit or on our own influence, but by that unspeakable gift of your Holy Spirit, which you give sovereignly, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would continue to work amongst us, move in the midst of your economy, your people here. And we are persuaded you are fully acquainted with every need that is represented amongst us, whether it be spiritual, domestic, social, financial, whatever it is. We know that you are more than able to meet every need according to your riches. We acknowledge that in the divine presence today. We pray, Lord, you would cause great faith to rise in the hearts of your children. They will trust you and walk closer, desire and endeavor with all that is in them to walk closer to you in this hour. Grant that unto us, we pray, as we leave this place today. Lord, if there be a stranger or visitor after sitting and hearing your word and realizing, oh God, that them without your seal would be destroyed, but that you, before the destruction comes on the scene to call out and seal your people, that they under no circumstances would go through that judgment, and you are here doing that now before the tribulation. Oh God, if the Spirit of God have quickened that to them and they recognize that and designed their hearts to be a Christian, be marked and set aside by you, they want to be identified with you, Lord, be baptized in your name. For you said, he that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Them who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, I pray they will not leave this service. But oh God, knowing that they are more than welcome to remain, and if they need to be ministered to personally, there are those here who are just more than willing to do that. Take us safely to our homes, Lord. Watch over us and protect us as we travel along the way. May the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ, who said, "Lo, I am with you all."